My name is Katrina Francis.
My name is Alphonse Balecki.
We both facilitate a men's behavior change program in Broome called Change in Ways.
I grew up with my parents with, you know, living in FGV, family domestic violence. And I mean, violence was all around. And it was something that, you know, as a child growing up and just thought, oh, that's just life. That's how it's supposed to be. That's normal. Like my parents fight. You know, my dad comes back home and, you know, he really mistreats my mom. And, you know, he'd be out with the mates and suppose, and he'd come back and he'd beat my mom. And, you know, we there as the kids, and I'm the oldest of four. I'd be the one helping my mom, you know, just getting my siblings together. And we would be, you know, finding the right time to run and escape. But by that time, my mom would already, she's already battered and blood coming out of it. That's what I would put up with at home. That's my life at home, you know. So it's just something that came normal. Like, yeah, it's just, it was everywhere in our community.
And that's very common to us too as well. You know, I grew up, well, my mom actually, she had like passed away due to inflicted wounds from domestic violence and stuff like that. And, you know, I'd be the one in the middle, you know, being the oldest out of my siblings, you know, like similar story to Katrina. You know, I'd be in the middle. I'd be like, you know, pushing dad away, trying to be the peacekeeper, getting knocks and bumps and punches and everything from the father and, you know, and all that. And to me, that sort of, I thought that as, oh, that's how, you know, people are supposed to live.
We knew we didn't want to go through what our mom's been through and what our dad's been like. But I suppose living in it, it was just so hard to stop and to get out of it and to control our own behaviors. And, you know, I mean, every time Alphonse would, and it was always when there's alcohol involved, I would say alcohol and drugs. And with Alphonse and I, you know, with our time living with violence, there would be a lot of alcohol and drugs involved. And then when it's time to, you know, when Alphonse all sobered up and just looking, and now he's regretting, oh my, what have I done? So we were living in that cycle of violence, and he would say a lot, you know, I am so sorry. I don't want to be like my dad. I don't want to do this. But it took us so long to actually find that, you know, a way.
You know, I've been to a lot of rehabs. You know, I've been to a lot of places to do programs on FDV and stuff like that. But there was always a relapse. And what made me come out of that and to make a change with myself, I had to go to prison to find out that I need to change. Seriously, I need to change. I've used weapons and stuff. You know, that's not funny. I used weapons, machetes, knives. You know, I even got a few stab wounds on myself as well from Katrina in self-defense and stuff, you know, and things like that. Either one could have been gone. We wouldn't have been here, you know, but because I have acknowledged that I need to change. I've got to change for my children and for my wife's health. And I can't keep putting her through all the traumas and all the agony and all that thing. So it took me to go to prison to realize that I had to self-reflect, you know, on what, hey man, what have I done? I'm not like this person. I'm more of my grandfather. I'm not my dad, you know, and so my children's self-esteem was really low. They had low grades, and I had to change.
Very low attendance
of everything. And I really took the time in prison to really cry to myself and say, what am I doing to my children? What am I doing to my wife? What am I doing? I've created a monster in me. I've created the monster in me. Not my wife created that monster in me. Not, you know, anybody else created that monster in me. I created that monster in me through my jealousy, through my control and my controlling behaviors and my drinking and drugging. They weren't helping, you know, and feeling sorry for myself, self-medicating with alcohol and drugs. You know, it wasn't, you know, who we really were, you know. There is a light, you know, that at the end of the tunnel that I need to go and see.
It was all about blaming each other and revenge at first. That was what we were living. And Alphonse, you know, used to always say, you made me do this. We hear that a lot. Every man, it's what you've done. You know, they will try and look for a fault. And that's what we found with a lot of men also. And it's, you know, something that I think they don't really realize that they're doing that. But like Alphonse said, it took him to go to prison to actually realize, wow, I've lost my family. You know, I've given up the house in Broome I took my children and we went to my grandmother's country, which is south of Broome, about 170 k's out of Broome. And I suppose Alphonse might have heard some stories, you know, from the outside connection he had with his family. He must have heard a lot of stories that we've moved. And then I think that sort of told him, whoa, Katrina's serious. I lost my family. She's not going to accept me back.
What made me change is, you know, my children, you know, listening to them crying, listening to them sobbing and seeing and hearing what we've been going through. This experience with trying to get a working children's check, there were some jobs, you know, I'm available that I was, you know, applying for. So I've applied for the working with children's check, and then it came back declined. It declined, and I was thinking, man, what are they doing? You know, what's going on? You know, a lot of frustration and anger. You know, what's happening? You know, I didn't touch my children. I didn't hit my children. I didn't do this to my children. So I read the letter. The letters were saying, it's not that the children was being hurt by you or you doing anything physically to the children or anything. It's what the children seen and heard. And how the children's been affected, their little hearts were broken and exposed to domestic violence, to my violence. I've showed a very ugly side of me to my children, and then that's why it was declined. And I've had that conversation with them over the phone, you know, saying like, how come this is thing? Well, it's not what their words were saying. It's not that you've hurt your children or done anything wrong to your children. It was what they've been exposed to. Even though you were in the other room, you and your wife, arguing and carrying on, but they heard everything, and sometimes they would see what I'd be doing to Katrina, you know, and that really broke their hearts, you know, tore them apart. And I didn't realize I was really, I'm the man, I'll tell you what goes on, I'll say this, I'll say that, and not realizing that I've really broken my kids' hearts, and that's what broke me. That's what broke my heart. I felt very, very broken that I've done this to my children. Yeah. I need to do something about myself.
From what I could remember, I think it was that point when Alphonse and I said, it was even shocking to me, because I thought that you'll have a negative working with children's check if you physically done something to a child. That was my understanding.
Yeah.
But when that came, I think that was an extra big turning point for us. That's when Alphonse and I said, no, my gosh, like, we didn't know this. So then that's when we've sort of realized, wow, so if they could say this, and if that's why, well, then that means our children are really affected by our behaviors. Our children is really in need of help. And that's when we've said, we need to stop.
So I said to myself, you know, I need to take responsibility, the man. I need to take that responsibility and own up to my problems. I need to own up to what I'm doing, what I've become. I'm the perpetrator. I'm the one who needs to change. It was my admittance that really got Katrina and myself focused on I need to change.
It was just sort of through.
And having the help from her, having, you know, really her sticking right behind me and saying, you know, thank you. That was my support. She was my support.
So when Alphonse and I first met, I mean, you know, we related with the stories we were talking about, and, you know, we've related in so much areas. And he's a bit older than me, but, you know, it was like we had so much in common, and we felt like we could talk to each other about anything. The deepest, shamefulest secret, we could talk about it to each other. You know, and we could also encourage each other and support each other.
Well, the organization, Men's Outreach, Aboriginal Corporation, that really, you know, because at that time, and when I was in prison, they were doing the reentry stuff that, you know, they go into prison and speak to the prisoners on who's coming out. I used to go to them just to let out, you know, just to let out steam, just to have someone to talk to. And that's when they pushed more, because I was saying, I want to change. My children need me to change. My wife need me to change. That's why I want to change.
We also had a strong Aboriginal worker of Men's Outreach. He was, you know, very well known. His, you know, family related connection, and he's an uncle as well, and just a local man of our small community, Broome. And he pulled us up together, and he said, "Look, you two really, really can make great success. You two are both crying out for help, and you two both want help. Now this, you know, it has to start." Like, you know, he sort of mentored us, and he said, "I think it was something that we've needed." Yeah. For an elder to sort of pull us up and say, you don't want to treat your wife like this, Alphonse. You don't want to treat your children, your children's mom like this. And then sort of also given me a few words on the way, you know, I as a woman, as an Aboriginal woman should, you know, like, have self-respect. He said to Alphonse, you know, gave us a few strong words. And that really shook us. And that really, you know, was an eye-opener as well, just to add on to what we've already been exploring. And so it was just all about, you know, with that from a very, you know, strong man that we deeply respect. So, you know, and then it was sort of, okay, there was another solution we found that, okay, because it was a time also that one of us had tried to give up cigarettes. Oh, lots of, many times. I think the last time it was me, yes. And then I would always ask Alphonse if he could buy me a packet if he's going out to the shops. Or, you know, in our Aboriginal culture, we like to share and we like to. So I would say, hey, can you know, if you're going out, can you ask your dad for some spare cigarettes for me, or ask your sister? Or I would call them and then they would send back the cigarettes. So Alphonse, and we were both, you know, there were times where Alphonse would give up and then I would be the one buying cigarettes for him, or bumming some cigarettes of someone and, you know, just doing this favors and sort of, no, we can't do this. So then we thought that was one of our learning curve as well, when we realized, hey, okay, if we want to give up cigarettes, look, why don't we just do it together? So then when we done it together, there was great success. Till this day, we don't smoke. So then that was also something that we've learned and we've reflected back on. And we said, hey, you know how we've given up cigarettes together? It didn't work when we tried to do it one by one, like on our own. But when we did it together, it worked. And then we thought, wow, so that's maybe what we have to do. Now we give up the alcohol together. Now we, you know, support each other. And that's how we sort of moved on.
Yeah.
And supporting each other.
We've maintained our giving up of cigarettes, alcohol, drugs, everything. We didn't tend to relapse on that because we didn't feel there was a need for it, because we found that happiness with just our normal high, our normal adrenaline that we, you know, have. And being happy, looking forward to going on fishing trips, looking forward to going on, you know, hunting trips with my wife and children. Before, it would be me and the boys. Well, you know, stuff. That I'm not gonna be with, sorry boys, but you're gonna have to take your guys own road, because this is my road. My road is with my wife and my children.
When the community started to recognize that, hey, these two have quietened down a bit, these two are really starting to do good, you know, we see them around more often together now and more family time, and you know, they've started to recognize and see the difference. And then we've started to have great support and just someone within our community saying, hey, you guys are looking really good there. Good on you. Well done. What are you guys doing? Those just motivated us to continue on.
Keep
you know,
going,
we're doing something
driving.
Good.
Even now talking about it, you know, I really want to shed a tear here. But because, you know, we've gone so far now, I'm not going to, because I know that, you know, we are reaching for the stars and we are doing well. We need to spread this message out. We need to give this out to people who are stuck in the cycle, you know? And yeah, I suppose being a man, and especially a man talking about how I treated my wife, man, I feel really sick in the stomach on, you know, the things, but I have to bring it out. You know, they need to hear this, because it's something that I really want to educate other men, other perpetrators, on what, you know, domestic violence
that's
is
possible and, to break.
And it's possible to break. Mm-hmm. It is possible to break. Very possible, you know. And
the willpower again.
And will, yeah. And the willpower and admitting that you have a problem, but you need to admit it as a perpetrator. Mm-hmm. You got to admit the things that you've gone through, the things that you've done in your life. Mm-hmm. And once you admit that, then, you know, you're on your way.